This New Age Bible teaching by David Ebal is titled Sons of God.
We're ready for tonight's session on the sons of God. Starting at your chart, I'd like for you to look at the top line. It has to do with four Greek words. These four words are translated sons of God, children of God, sons and children interchangeably. Now, I'd like to stop here and mention something about God. God is solid, stable. He does not change. With God, there is no variableness nor shadow of changing or turning. God does not change or turn. However, His method of dealing with us does change as you and I mature. God deals with babies differently than He does with grown-up people. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? How many have heard that a child can get to heaven no matter what he does until he comes to the age of accountability? How many have heard that? See? Or would you agree with me, then God deals with that child differently? Doesn't hold him accountable. Does that make sense to you? And there's a different rule applied to that one than there would be to someone who was mature and accountable. Now, that makes sense. I mean, you would just expect that out of God. So, we're not saying God changes. Only His method of dealing with us does change according to how old we are. Now, when I say how old we are, I'm not talking about how many birthdays you've had. I'm talking about what kind of maturity you've come into as far as attitude changes. For these are the mark of maturity we'll be talking about tonight. Looking at your chart now, you'll find out four different columns. There are four groups of maturity under which the Bible lists Christians. Now, this is going to be new. I've never heard any of this taught anywhere. I've got lots and lots of Bible books written about sons of God, and I haven't got a single one that's ever called this out. So as far as I know, this is all novel and new, though it's been in the Bible all the time. And so the alignment of a lot of these scriptures, according to this chart, on the basis of these four Greek words, is going to make so much sense to you tonight that in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to understand this lesson. Over to the left is a column about babies. Just a little bit to the right of that is a column about children. To the right of that is a column about adolescents. And to the right of that is a column about sons. Now, the word for baby, P-A-I-D-I-O-N. Paidion is the best way I'm going to say it until somebody corrects me. You see the word there in your column? Paidion. Now, the next one is pais, or pais, but I'm going to call it a pais. And I'm pretty sure the next one is technon, and the next one, huios. Now, the paidion is a little bitty baby, and we're going to find some scriptures that are used and have this word translated. Sometimes child, sometimes son, sometimes little child, but it always really means an itsy-bitsy baby. Sometimes when the Bible uses the word pais, when the Bible uses the word pais in the next column, it has to do with a child. And if you look just under that, we've listed some words like toddler, preschool, elementary, or youngster, which would be synonyms for this Greek word. And the reason that this is important is that many of the scriptures that we've been referring to, even about manifested sons of God, really aren't talking about the sons of God, for the sons of God are the right-hand column. The huios guys, the mature ones. And we're going to see some scriptures that don't have anything to do with mature sons of God that we've been claiming. Now, is this going to upset somebody if I pull one of your scriptures away from you? Is anybody going to be upset about it? Or would you feel even more secure knowing what's what? Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, some people, when you start pulling their scriptures away and say, hey, you took my rapture away. Or this or that, see? And some people get all upset about it. Take, for instance, the scripture in John 1:12. Maybe you'd like to turn with me to John 1:12 for a minute. just as a reference, a quick reference to what to the reason that this is so important. But as many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he the dunamis, to become, what's the next one? Sons of God. Well, of course, sons of God. Praise God, that's what I want, the dunamis, to become a son of God. But as I began to study it, I found out that's not what it said at all. The word is technon. Now look at your chart. Uh-huh. So then we have the dunamis to become not manifested, but adolescence of God, as opposed to manifested, responsible, mature sons of God. Now, the reason that this is important, I feel, is that the huios, manifested, responsible sons of God, are going to be at a certain time in God's clockwork or calendar. So then, for people who were here earlier, they receive the dunamis to become what? Technons of God. And what's a technon? Well, we'll look at it. Adolescent, teenager, junior high school, apprentice, trade school, advanced school. Someone who's about ready to be manifest, but the real manifestation of taking over wasn't for those generations, so that's why they had the power to become technons, but the generation that's going to be manifested is going to go through the technon stage, the apprenticeship stage. And who am I talking about? Where are they? The huios. Well, by faith, here we are. By faith, we're believing that this is the group that's going to be manifested as sons of God. Now, did you follow that logic? I'm trying to explain why these former generations had power to become technons. What if he would have said the former generations have the power to become huios of God? Well, if you become a huios, a manifested son of God, you can't die. Do you follow that? You cannot die as a manifested son of God. When you've got God's glory, when you've had all the changes that are necessary in the soul, mind, intellect, emotion, attitude, realm, you won't die. There won't be any need to die. So all those former generations, because it wasn't in God's timetable, it wasn't in God's calendar to become huios, they became technons, adolescents, former generations, as the sons of God were adolescents of God. But there will be a generation. There will be a people alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. They'll be manifested as sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. They'll rule and reign with Him. Now, does that make any sense to anybody so far? Do you see the reason for it? And that's why I'm calling your attention to the fact that some of our scriptures that we have thought were indicative of us, promises to us, maybe they were to grandma. When I say grandma, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Someone who was here and accepted Jesus and died and went on. See? Now, back to our chart for just a minute. The paideion, a baby. And the Bible talks about babies in God's kingdom, and it uses this word a number of times in the Scripture, but I've called out several, and there in the left-hand column, down toward the end, just where it says Law of Moses, just above that, and it talks about, in the Scripture, these paideons. The paideons are the babies, and they're born of the Spirit. Now, the word baby was also used for people who were just born in the natural flesh, the paideons. And as time goes on, We'll look at some of these scriptures to find out why sometimes God or Jesus referred to us as paideons. Let's take first the ones in Matthew. Matthew 2. And now, if this study turns on anybody, you want to go into it deeper, I'd like to say this. I took a Bible, and this whole Bible here, what I've done is gone through it, and wherever you see those colored marks, I have referenced over 400, every reference that there is to a son or a child, page after page, and every one of those colors is a different Greek word. And, of course, it's the same color, the same Greek word throughout the Bible. And I've gone through every scripture in the Bible, not what I'm doing, something through this now so you can get an idea, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And it took me, as you might guess, quite a few hours. Now, I'm not going to try, like I did last Monday, to go through all the scriptures with you. I'm just going to tell you what I found out. For those who want to go into the detail, I've got the scriptures there. And those scriptures that we have on your charts are representative scriptures. But in this Bible, if anyone would like to, you may go through every scripture within its context to find out how every one of these words were used. You want to try it, Helen? Do you? I'm not sure. Well, we'll give you a chance. All right, in Matthew chapter 2, I'm interested in the word paideon right now. 2:8, I believe, is the first one that we've underlined. And he sent them to Bethlehem, this is Herod, see, and said, go and search diligently for the young child. See, that young child, it really should be, I think, it should be baby. Now, you see on your chart, wherever you got the word paideon, I think I would translate that word baby, though the translators have done it, you know, in various ways. Because to us, when we see the word baby, we know what baby means, don't we? And it says, go search diligently for this young baby. Now, in verse 9, they said... which the star they saw in the east, they went before them until it came and stood over where the... What's that next thing? Young child, and I would translate that baby. It's a paideon. In verse 11, they came to the house, they saw the young child. There's a paideon. In verse 13, there was the young child and his mother, and they sought the young child to destroy him. Paideons. And that's enough of that. And within the context, it's very obvious that this is talking about something that you hold in your arms and rock to sleep. Would you agree, within the context of this whole thing, that that's what it's about? A paideon. Okay. Now, if you follow that, look at Luke 1:59. And I'm going to emphasize this because I'll be coming back a little bit later. In Luke 1:59, we find the word paideon again, a little baby. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zechariah after the name of his father. Would you agree that somebody's 8 days old is a baby? And that's the word they use, the paideon word, because it was a baby, a little teeny tiny itsy bitsy baby. As we study in this chart, and I'm going to get into this now, and I'm going to come back to the last scripture in just a minute, we'll see that God has certain rules for babies and certain rules for young children and other rules for adolescents and finally has other rules for the mature sons of God. This will help you to understand why it is that there are so many people arguing about what is God's will. Have you heard arguments about what God wants? What's right? How many have heard people argue, Christians arguing about what's right? Well, you see, friend, what's right for a baby isn't right for an adolescent. And what's right for an adolescent is not right for a mature son. Now, does that make sense? At the moment, we have in our home a son who is 23 years old, and you would expect that boy to be mature. Is that all right? So, therefore, as far as this father is concerned, I no longer exercise any influence of rules and laws over that boy except as he interferes with the social activity of my home. Can you understand that? See, now socially, there are some rules that I still put him under, and those are the same rules you'd be under if you came and visited in my home. Is that all right? Though he is my son, 23-year-old son, living at home still with his father, he's now free to do things that as an adolescent I caused him to report to me every time a certain thought or act or decision was made. I wanted to report on it. I wanted to know where and when. Does that make sense? Isn't that all right? Isn't that right for a father to ask the adolescent children, where are you going? When are you coming back? Is that all right? And expect an answer. And expect a true answer. Because I'm the father, I'm the responsible one for that family. However, this boy's 23 now, so I'm asking him every time he heads for the door, where are you going, when are you coming back? But I often ask him, where are you going and when are you coming back? When it interferes, or there's a chance that it might interfere with my schedule, or his mother, my wife's schedule. You follow what I'm getting at there? Isn't that all right? Isn't that, from a social standpoint, there's nothing wrong. I would ask you the same thing if you were a guest in my home and you were going out, perhaps, and we were trying to figure out what time dinner would be or something like that. Wouldn't that be all right? You see? And so I would treat the situation differently according to our maturity, just like God treats us differently according to our maturity. Now, turn with me to John. John chapter 21. To find out how Jesus at times referred to his disciples. John chapter 21 is quite a shocker. But in the context, you'll see why he used the word paideion. 21:3. Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. Why? Well, he didn't know for sure what was going on. The crucifixion had come. The baptism of the Holy Spirit hadn't come quite yet. He didn't know for anything what was up or what was down. This is the same Peter who had said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the same Peter that was scared to say, Yeah, I even know him, to the maiden that night. Do you remember the story? So Peter now says, I go fishing. And they said to him, We'll also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, that the night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Now you get this, this is just the same guy that had been in the tomb. Now he's resurrected, and he's on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was their Master, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus said unto them, see the next word? The translation, the real translation is, Hey, babies. Hey, babies. Now, he very seldom referred to them that way, but this time he did. Hey, babies. Guy meat, you catch anything? And they answered, Nope. And what did he do? Put the net over on the other side of the ship. The right side. And they did it. And of course then they recognized who it was. Now why would Jesus refer to the apostles? These are grown up men. Hey babies. What would make Jesus refer to these guys as babies? What? Yeah, because they just couldn't catch on. And they weren't acting mature spiritually. They went back to the old system, the old thing. And after 3.5 years of teaching, he said, Oh. Talk about teaching babies. I told them, how many times did I tell them that the Son of Man must be lifted up, must be crucified, and on the third day he would rise again? And these babies couldn't catch it. Can you see it? You see what it's talking about? Referring to grown men as babies. Paideons. Hey, babies. To me, it's kind of a joke. Have you got any meat? Now, the reason I like to laugh at those babies is because I just imagine lots of time when God pulls back the shutter and looks at us. He just chuckles and he says, well, what can you expect from a Paideon? Babies. Hey, babies. Well, that's about all I can expect. Somebody who is a baby in their understanding of my will and ways and what I want them to do, all I can do is treat them like a baby. Okay. Now, when a baby misunderstands, a Paideon misunderstands, does wrong, what do you do to a baby? Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about a pais, a child, a young child, a top toddler. I'm talking about a crib baby. What? Well, don't you spank him? Huh? No, I don't either. And I don't expect God to spank babies. In fact, my God would even go to the babies and say, hey, kids, put the net on the other side. And help them out of the mess. And give them a big load. You see? Because they're babies. Isn't that the way you would deal with a baby? But would you deal with a tot or a toddler the same way? No. Things change. For you see, a baby can get away with the things that bring a good swat on the bottom to a tot or a toddler or a child. Now, does that make sense? Well, do you know that the Bible actually says that we as Christians go through these stages of our own development? And that's why some Christians can get away with things that others just absolutely know are wrong and they're not to do. Looks like that went over like a lead balloon. For you see, the babies don't know, so they don't get spanked when they don't know. They're babies. But you know, because to whom much is given, much is... much is required. So the more you know, the more responsible you have to be. Now I'm going to take the word responsibility, and this has to do in the coming down the column, right under the word baby, it talks about a mother's responsibility, a father's responsibility, and your own responsibility, plus being responsible for others. You see, a baby and a child, and according to the Jewish law, they were children until they were the 13th, 13th birthday. How old are you on your 13th birthday? You've had 12 full years. 13 full years. Yeah. Well, it'd be on your 12th birthday then. It'd be on your 12th birthday according to their thing because, see, a Jew counts a baby 1 year old right away. And we count 1 year old after they've served their year. Did you know that? That causes a little trouble there in counting, but it does. That's why, do you remember when it said that Jesus was 12 years old when they took him to the temple? And I must be about my father's business. Remember that? See? Well, that's true. 12 years old. And they count that way, and there are times in counting prophecy when Jews don't start with zero, they start with one. You've heard me say that before, haven't you? In counting prophecy, you start with one, not zero. Now, most scales start with a zero, and you finish the first whole unit before you get to one, but sometimes they start with one. Well, anyway, it's the mother's responsibility for a baby and a child. And when the child goes through his bar mitzvah, that's the next line down, his bar mitzvah, at that point, he changes from a mother's side of the synagogue to sitting on the father's side of the synagogue. And he crosses the center line of your chart, assuming that he started over here at the left and his goal was going to the right to be a mature man. Am I making sense on this chart now? You see how it works? He crosses through that center line at his bar mitzvah when he is introduced to the whole world. And the father stands up and says, "This is my son." He goes through his bar mitzvah. I remember a father who said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Perhaps a parallel to a bar mitzvah. But in this bar mitzvah, the boy is only just entering into adolescence. And we call them teenagers, junior high school, apprentice, trade school, or even an advanced school. But someone who is still going through training in order to amount to something on the other side. Someone who is not really an artisan yet, but is being trained in his technique or his subject, whatever he's decided to work on. Most of them, back then, of course, followed an apprenticeship that was established by the trade of their father. So they said, "Isn't this Jesus the carpenter's son?" And he was apprenticed to his father. Do you remember that? But do you also remember that when Jesus went to the temple when he was 12 years of age, and they started back home, and they said, "Where is he? He's missing." And they start talking to the relatives. And so they went back to the temple, and they found this boy in the temple. "What are you doing here? You scared us to death." What was his answer to his mother? "Know ye not about my what?" Aha. He knew that at his bar mitzvah, he was to become apprenticed to his father, so he stayed in the temple. Do you see what I'm driving at? But he went back home with Joseph to be subject in the natural realm as a son of man, though as a son of God, he should have been raised from that age in the temple. Can you see it? Now, perhaps you'd like to read it with me. It's in Luke 2:43. Luke 2:43. And here is a new word that we haven't really read before, but it's pais, P-A-I-S. "And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." This is the pais. This is the child who is now getting ready to be a technon. And in verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Technon, why hast thou dealt with us, thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth, was subject unto them. But the mother kept these things in her heart, because now he's a technon. Now he's going about his father's business. And this introduces the word technon in his life as he begins to become more and more mature. Am I making sense to you in this?
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.